From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. Minister Retno Marsudi conveys the ASEAN GCC summit is good modality for advancing prosperity. ASEAN and GCC solidly support peaceful solutions in Palestine. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has stated that the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and the Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC, are two large economies with a promising future. She also remarked that last year, the gross domestic product, or GDP, of both organizations exceeded $5 billion, and the young generation in both regions exceeded 700 million people. The majority of ASEAN and GCC are inhabited by the productive young generation. As quoted from information received in Jakarta on Friday, in a joint statement with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Saudi Arabia, Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud, after the ASEAN-GCC summit, according to Minister Retno Marsudi, this is good modality for both of them to further improve cooperative relations as reflected in the results of the ASEAN-GCC summit, namely the joint statement ASEAN-GCC Riyadh summit and the ASEAN-GCC framework of cooperation 2024 until 2028.
Our economic growth last year stood far above global average, 7.5% for GCC and 5.3% for ASEAN. This is a good modality for ASEAN and GCC to further strengthen cooperation in promoting peace, stability, and prosperity as reflected in the joint statement of ASEAN-GCC Riyadh Summit and the ASEAN-GCC Framework for Cooperation 2024-2028.
Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that the ASEAN-GCC 2024-2028 cooperation framework that has been agreed upon would also guide future cooperation between the two parties. She added that this cooperation includes eradication of terrorism, trade and investment, micro, small, medium enterprises, agriculture and food security, energy, tourism, connectivity, culture, information and education. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has pointed out that the countries which are members of the Gulf Cooperation Council or GCC have acceded to the Treaty of Amity and Cooperation. According to Minister Retno, this shows the strong commitment of the GCC countries to support the maintenance of peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific region. Vice versa, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, is also committed to supporting the maintenance of peace and stability in the Middle East. This was said by Minister Retno in a joint statement with Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud after the ASEAN-GCC summit, as quoted from information received in Jakarta on Friday. She also remarked that ASEAN and GCC leaders have the same concerns to conditions in Palestine. Both parties also agreed to support a peaceful solution in Palestine.
ASEAN and GCC leaders share the grave concern over the recent development in Palestine. ASEAN and GCC also stand solid in supporting peaceful solution for Palestine, and this position are well reflected in the GCC-ASEAN statement on developing in Gaza.
Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi further explained that ASEAN had also issued a foreign minister's statement regarding the escalation of violence in the Middle East. According to Minister Retno, the ASEAN foreign minister's statement has urged an immediate cessation of violence, the establishment of a humanitarian corridor, demonstrated ASEAN support for the two-state solution, and called for protection and security for all ASEAN citizens. Besides, Minister Retno conveyed ASEAN and the GCC paid special attention to the issue of migrant workers. According to Retno, the ASEAN-GCC Riyadh Summit joint statement reaffirms the positive contribution of Southeast Asian workers in building sustainable economic growth and development in the GCC region. Therefore, Minister Retno has affirmed that ASEAN and the GCC agree to collaborate in promoting orderly, safe, regulated, and responsible labor mobility, as well as in combating human trafficking in connection with recruitment practices. Infrastructure and leadership will strengthen the digital ecosystem. Therefore, the government is lending full support by building digital infrastructure more uniformly and encouraging digital leadership. Indonesia is fully committed to optimizing the growth of the digital ecosystem through various initiatives. According to a statement issued in Jakarta on Friday, this was pointed out by Minister of Communication and Informatics Budi Aristiadi at the China-Indonesia Executive Tech Summit 4th Global Internet CEO Conference. He also remarked that currently the government continues to improve the quality of internet services and expand coverage by building various infrastructures in upstream, midstream, and downstream sectors. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict has not disturbed Indonesia's export trade transactions. This was said by the Trade Minister's Director General of National Export Development, Didi Sumedi, at the 38th Indonesia Trade Expo in Tangerang, Banten on Friday, as reported by Antara. According to Didi, he has not seen any disturbances because the location and also other factors do not interfere with logistics for export. Didi Sumedi has remarked that the conflict so far has had no impact on the logistics of export from Indonesia to other countries. However, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine did disrupt Indonesia's export, as the warring region is the channel for Indonesia's exported products to several countries. Shortages of food, fuel, and electricity in Gaza are going to kill many people, a senior aid official warned Friday as Israel's siege and bombardment of the enclave approached the two-week mark, while life-saving aid was again stuck in Egypt for another day. As reported by CNN.com, a spokesperson for the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza said, 7 hospitals and 21 primary care health centers had been rendered out of service, and 64 medical staff have been killed as Israel continues its airstrikes on Gaza, according to Avril Benoit, executive director for Doctors Without Borders, also known as Medicine's Sans Frontiers. It is absolutely life or death at this point. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said on Friday the Indian government's crackdown on Canadian diplomats was making normal life difficult for millions of people in both countries. As reported by ArabNews.com, Trudeau spoke a day after Canada said it had withdrawn 41 diplomats following an Indian threat to unilaterally revoke their status. New Delhi is angry that Trudeau last month suggested Indian agents might have been involved in the June murder of a Sikh Bharatis leader in Canada. India denies the allegation. Thai officials on Friday promised action to address a spike in air pollution that came from the normal peak of seasonal haze, but environmental activists accused authorities of hot air. As reported by Channel NewsAsia.com, Bangkok ranked as the world's 10th most polluted city on Friday, according to the air quality monitoring firm IQAR. Government officials said the sudden spike was largely due to atmospheric conditions, with fine particulate accumulating due to colder air, high air pressure, and dry weather. That's the newsline.
See you. first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from the city of Ternate, North Maluku. The Ternate City Government, North Maluku, together with the Sultanate of Ternate, carried out the Uci Dowong, or going down to the sand ritual, as an expression of gratitude for the manifestation of the enchanting natural beauty of the area, especially at the Sulamadaha Beach tourist attraction. Mayor of Ternate, Tauhid Suleman, after taking part in the ritual at the Sulamadaha tourist attraction on Tuesday, said that this is a cultural heritage that contains deep meaning for the people of Ternate and Sulamadaha Beach, which is one embodiment of Ternate's enchanting natural beauty. Apart from that, according to him, this activity is also to preserve regional culture and customs. Meanwhile, the Sultanate of Ternate, represented by Johukum Sangaji Gunawan, said, in the whole area on Sulamadaha Beach, you can find many types of soft coral, lionfish, and colorful fish which are quite beautiful. With this attractive underwater potential, it is hoped that it can be utilized for the development of coastal tourism, which is beneficial for regional development and the welfare of the surrounding community. The next news comes from the city of Surabaya, East Java. The city government is focusing on revitalization or reviving 949 active and passive parks in Surabaya, East Java. Head of the Surabaya Environmental Service, Agus Hebi Juniantoro, on Tuesday said that the total number of parks in Surabaya was 949, consisting of active parks and passive parks. Specifically for active parks, there are 39 city-scale locations and 136 residential locations. Then there are passive parks, which on average are in the green belt at 775 locations. Of those active parks, 169 of them are children's playgrounds and are never empty of visitors. These locations are spread throughout Surabaya, so residents don't need to go far to take their children to play, and all the facilities are free. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Semarang, Central Java. The city of Semarang hosted the 2023 Indonesian Wayang Orang Festival, or Javanese Traditional Theater, from October the 18th until 21st. Head of the Semarang City Culture and Tourism Service, Wingi Wiarso, in Semarang on Monday explained that the Indonesian Wayang Festival was held centrally at the Raden Saleh Culture Park, Semarang. According to him, the enthusiasm for holding the Wayang Orang Festival stems from concern over the creative result of local wisdom, which are starting to be replaced by external cultural influence. He explained that the 2023 National Wayang Orang Festival series of events featured a variety of performances attended by 8 artistic groups of Wayang Orang Theater in Indonesia. During the festival, visitors were also presented with a micro, small, and medium enterprises exhibition displaying unique products. Apart from that, there is also a wayang exhibition which introduces various types of wayang performing arts from all over the archipelago, open to the public and free. That was news from across Indonesia. I'll begin today in history with October the 21st, 1966, Aberfan tragedy. A coal waste in Aberfan, Wales, England, collapsed on October the 21st, 1966. The tragedy killed 144 people. The majority of victims were children who were sitting in their classrooms at school. there were about 140,000 cubic meters of coal waste that was coming down the hill very quickly and destroying everything in its path. The landslides destroyed two agricultural huts and buried an elementary school, Pantlas Junior School. This incident is known as the Aberfan tragedy and is one of the worst mining disasters in England. Let's move to October the 21st, 1990, World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day established. World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day aims at increasing public awareness of the important function of iodine for human health. Iodine is a micronutrient required by the body, and it is important for healthy growth and development. Iodine deficiency is the main cause of goiter and hypothyroidism, and it is hoped that the day will spread information about the importance of iodine in preventing complications related to iodine deficiency. Quoting nationaldaycalendar.com, World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day was based on the World Summit for Children in 1990. World leaders set a goal to eliminate iodine deficiency by 2000. In the following years, countries such as India and China launched the National Day for the Prevention of Disorders Due to Iodine Deficiency. Additionally, countries around the world have joined this cause and started calling it World Iodine Deficiency Day. I'll end Today in History with October the 21st, 2010. Myanmar changes national flag. The Myanmar government decided to change its national flag on October the 21st, 2010. It officially introduced the new flag, which was yellow, green, and red with a large white star in the middle. Previously, the Myanmar flag was red and blue with a picture of a wheel spoke surrounded by 14 stars and a sprig of rice in the middle. That was Today in History.
It's the thrill of one more kill, the last one to fall. We'll never sacrifice their will. I'll never look back on the world closing in. Be on the attack with your wings on the wind. All the things will begin. And it's yeah.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on seven Indonesian companies take part in the Africa Health Exhibition in Johannesburg. A total of seven Indonesian medical equipment procurement companies participated in the 2023 Africa Health Exhibition at the Gallagher Convention Center, Johannesburg, South Africa, from October the 17th until 19th. Deputy Head of the Indonesian Trade and Promotion Center, Johannesburg, Murdopo, stated that the annual exhibition is a good opportunity to promote Indonesian medical equipment products in South Africa. As reported by Antara in a written statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria on Thursday, Murdopo explained that the seven companies were present on the initiative of the Indonesian Trade and Promotion Center, Johannesburg, and the Association of Indonesian Medical Device Manufacturers. The Indonesian Pavilion, as a showcase for their promoted health products, was officially opened by the Ambassador of Indonesia to South Africa, Saud Purwanto Krisnawan. According to Murdopo, potential buyers will not only come from South Africa, but also from surrounding countries. He added that South Africa's position as a trade hub for those countries can be utilized well by Indonesia. He explained that the promotion of medical equipment and pharmaceutical products is an effort to diversify products, which also prove Indonesia's ability to produce high-tech medical devices and pharmaceuticals. Murdopo further said that there is a huge potential for the medical equipment market in South Africa because the country is a reference for surrounding countries in terms of health facilities. TradeMap, a data center on statistical and market research, as well as world trade performance developed by the International Trade Center, United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, and World Trade Organization, noted that South Africa recorded imports of medical equipment worth $1 billion in 2022. That was My Indonesia Today.
Oh, sejuta kebaikan tujuanku berbandar menuju yang megah. Amin. Tak mengubah sehelai pasti. Amin. Pantas diri aku.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Traveling to Lamongan City is Java is not complete if you don't enjoy a culinary to the city. Lamongan is a small regency located in the East Java which has various special foods. One of them is nasi boronan or sego boronan, which is a traditional food of Lamongan, East Java. Sellers of nasi boronan usually sell their food from afternoon to evening. This rice is also usually sold on a lesehan around the city markets in Lamongan Regency. Listener, the term of nasi boranan is taken from the container for rice called boranan, which is a kind of basket made of bamboo which is circular at the top and square at the bottom with four supports at each other. With almost the same shape, people around Lamongan City also use this type of basket for various purposes such as for transporting and various agricultural commodities. Listener, in general, food is served using plates or bowls, but this is different from boranan rice, which is served by using leaves and its shape into a cone, or in Javanese it is pincuk, and uses a rice container made from woven bamboo. Nasi boranan consists of rice, spices, side dishes, peanut brittle, vegetables mixed with grated coconut called yurap or warehouse, and pletuk, which is dried rice or nuts. Meanwhile, boranan rice seasoning consists of ground spices. Then boranan rice is coated with a special sauce which gives a spicy taste because it is made from galangang, ginger, shrimp, paste, kaffir lime, boiled cayenne pepper, and soak raw rice as a thickener, grated coconut, shallots, garlic, pepper, sugar, and salt. Listener, the specialty of boranan rice, which you will not find on the other miners, is soft, and it is made from seasoned wheat flour and fried in the shape of balls with detended dreadlocks made from cassava. Meanwhile, the side dish of silly fish cannot be found at all the time because it is a seasonal fish. For each pincuk nasi boranan, which contains rice, vegetable, ointment, pletuk, dreadlocks, tofu, and tempeh, and peanut brittle, you only need to pay from 6,000 rupiah to 17,000 rupiah depending on the fish chosen. Boranan rice is usually sold from 4:30 to 8:30 and 4 o'clock p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Rotating between traders, usually traders sell it by carrying it using a scarf, the culinary delight and only be found in Lamongan. So if you have the opportunity to visit Lamongan, nasi boranan, which is a typical Lamongan culinary dish. Well, listener, that was my Indonesian wonder for today's edition, and we will see you again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Sadness in your eyes. I don't wanna say goodbye to you. Love is one big illusion. I should try to forget, but there is something left in my head. You're the one who set it up. You're the one to make it stop. I'm the one who's feeling lost right now. Now you want me to forget every little thing you said, but there is something left in my head. The feeling so strong, we're lasting for so long. But I'm not the man your heart is missing. That's why you go the way I know it. You were never satisfied. No matter how I try, now you wanna say goodbye to me. Love is one big illusion. I should try to forget, but there is something left in my head. Strong, we're lasting for so long. But I'm not the man your heart is missing. That's why you go the way I know. Yes, I know.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, after being stopped due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the festival Round Music initiated by KBS is back with musicians from ASEAN countries in the ASEAN Music Round Festival Korea 2023, which will take place at Ancol International Beach Stadium, Jakarta on October 21st to the 22nd. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, in a press conference on Monday in Jakarta, appreciated KBS initiative to create this music festival as a collaborative project between ASEAN and South Korea. He hoped through this festival, people from various countries, languages, and cultures can be connected through music. South Korean Ambassador to ASEAN Lee Jang-kun said one of the cultures inherent in South Korea is music. With this strength, it is hoped that people can make a contribution to strengthen ties of friendship between ASEAN countries and South Korea. According to him, this year is the first time this festival has taken place offline, with a full audience, and this happens in Indonesia, especially in Jakarta. Furthermore, according to Ambassador Lee Jang-kun, music has become a universal language. Even if we cannot understand the language from other countries, music can unite. Listener, this Round Fest event will feature 20 singers, including Bila Aisyah from The Boys in Brunei, One Piece Band from Cambodia, Ardito Pramono, Bara Dasar, Isyana Sarasvati, and Pamungkas from Indonesia, Black Eyes from Laos, Eclipse Sakkachinta from Malaysia, Velocity and SGO from South Korea. Actor Ji Hyun Woo will host the Round Festival in Indonesia. For those interested in watching, tickets are free. For further information, you can access the website page roundfestival.net. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I heard you the block and I be the circuit. When I got caught, I hope that you're the verdict. When you're around, my insides turn inverted. My blood starts to rush when I see you dormant. I know you're nearby and I know your purpose. Take one look at you, your heaven's incarnate. What is the spell, baby? Please show some mercy.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Harapanku by Toto Salmon. The song was composed by Ismanto and popularized by a legendary Indonesian keroncong singer, Toto Salmon. The song tells about the dream of a nation's children who hope that happiness can be felt together by all Indonesian people. According to Ismanto, the creator of this song, happiness will be achieved if the Indonesian people achieve prosperity and wealth. Well, listener, here is Toto Salmon with the song Harapanku.
Jangan hati merindu harapan, karena jiwaku dirangku mimpi gelora cita. Siang malam selalu mencari kumandang gemah panggilan harapanku. Yang bermukim di dalam mimpi, yang menjelma rona cita. Serta kemakmuran bersama bagi bangsa Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.